Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad you could tune in and join me. I'm very, very pleased this morning to share with you that I have not just one, but two very special guests joining me. First and foremost, Pastor Brian Busby, who happens to be the Life Group Pastor at Valley Baptist Church right here in Bakersfield, California. Good morning, sir, and welcome back.
Good morning. It's good to be back.
And also a fellow brother in Christ, Joseph Christostomo, joining me for the first time. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Very, very soon, actually, beginning on January 16th of next year, Valley Baptist Church is going to be offering a class and a care group, which is truly, truly significant. And Pastor Brian, I'd like to ask you if you could share details of what's coming up.
Sure, yeah, I'd love to. You know, this is obviously an issue that the church has to address. If we care about people, if we love people, we've got to help people who are struggling with same-sex attraction. And for a long time, our church focused on increasing the amount of training that our pastors were receiving in order to minister to people who are experiencing same-sex attraction. I remember probably about 12 years ago, Pastor Philip, we brought you in to help talk to our staff about how we can minister to people who are experiencing same-sex attraction. But as the years have gone by, we've come to the realization that of all the people who are struggling with same-sex attraction within our congregation, only a few of them are going to have the courage to come talk to a pastor about it. A lot of times they're nervous, and you know, we would love them, we would want to talk to them, but sometimes they're nervous about how a pastor is going to react. And so we've become increasingly convinced that the best thing we can do as pastors is to help set up support systems to support the families in our church who do have an opportunity to talk to those who are struggling with same-sex attraction. And so we're very excited to begin offering a support group. It's going to begin on January 16th, like you said, which is a Wednesday night. It's going to go from 6 to 7:30 p.m. each of those Wednesday nights. And it's going to meet once a month, every month. And it's going to be in a room that's called S13 on our Fruitville campus, which is 4800 Fruitville Avenue. It's completely free. And a cool thing about it, there's even free childcare up through fifth grade. So that's a nice perk.
Excellent. Well, I am very, very grateful that Valley Baptist Church is going to be offering this badly needed, really, really tremendously needed group gathering, because it's going to be available not only to men and women that struggle with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction, but it's also available to parents wondering how do they address their same-sex attracted child, what do they say, what don't they say, what do I do, what don't I do, all those factors and more. But it's also available to any individual wanting to attend to learn more how to equip themselves to better represent Christ to someone who's struggling with the brokenness of same-sex attraction. So it's well-rounded and very, very timely right now, especially. Joseph, jump in here. You're going to be leading the group.
Yes. Meetings. Yeah. I'm really, really excited to get this ministry up and going. Like Pastor Brian said, there's definitely a need. Just in my personal interaction with young adults on campus, you know, it's not a secret. The problem is out there, and there are folks that are looking for help desperately.
Absolutely.
And so I'm really glad to kind of step in and get this thing going. This particular brokenness reaches me personally, because it's something that I've struggled with and to some degree still struggle with. My testimony begins at age 5 when I remember watching a TV program and being attracted to a man on the show. And at that early age, I knew that something wasn't right. I knew that boys were supposed to like girls and girls were supposed to like boys, not boys liking boys and girls liking girls. Now, I grew up in a Christian home where I knew that wasn't okay. Both of my parents were born again Christians. We went to church every Sunday, Wednesday, and Monday night. I was saved at Vacation Bible School. My parents did a really great job of instilling Christ's values in the lives of my brother and I. But I knew I was different. Growing up, especially in my adolescent years, I knew that I was different from other boys and from other boys that were my age. The boys on the neighborhood were frequently playing sports outside. They liked to get together and roughhouse. And I was the type who really just wanted to stay indoors. I liked musical instruments. I liked to have long conversations. And it made it very difficult because of those differences to establish meaningful relationships with boys my age. To make matters a little more difficult, my dad, who was in the Navy, he was gone frequently for his deployment. So he was gone 6 months out of the year. And when he was home, he was emotionally absent. He was a really great provider. We were never without. But as far as meeting those emotional needs and really modeling what it meant to be a man of Christ, that was really lacking. And my mom, who was a stay-at-home mom, she loved us dearly. She was definitely overprotective, overbearing, and really made it hard for me to spread my wings as a boy and growing up to be a man. I really relied on her affirmation on things to the point where I had such a twisted sense of what being a man was. And my brother, who's 4 years older than I was, he was real outgoing, good at sports, very social, had the easiest time talking to girls. And because of our differences, we didn't get along very well, and things became verbally abusive. And, it was just a perfect storm for a little boy who wanted to be a man but just didn't know how to be a man. And growing up in the mid-90s, there just wasn't anyone to talk to in the church. Growing up in a small Filipino church, there was just this... there was a known stigma that if you were gay, then you just were not accepted. And so I would be the last person to ask for help because I did not want to bring shame to myself or to my family. So I kept it a secret. And sitting here with you guys, telling the world essentially about my story is a testimony of God's restoration, because as a seventh grader in middle school, I had swore to myself that I would never tell anyone about this struggle. It was too embarrassing. There was so much shame and guilt. I didn't want to tell anyone. So the way this manifested for me personally was through pornography. I was very deep into pornography. I remember even wanting to watch straight porn just so that I could be like the other guys. And that didn't last at all. There was just this terrible sense within me that wanted to act out on these unnatural feelings, but I couldn't make them go away. You know, I didn't wake up one day and say, okay, I'm going to be attracted to boys or men. It didn't happen like that. It just happened. And I questioned God often, asking him, well, why did this have to happen to me? Why can I have another issue like anger or being a gambler? I had this ugly, terrible brokenness. It wasn't until I went to college that I realized that, you know, God had a plan for me, that even in the midst of this ugly sin, that God could bring about restoration. I roomed with some Christian guys who really encouraged me to get Christian counseling, and I was able to put some labels on what it was that was plaguing my life for the past 15, 20 years. And I realized that I didn't have to stay in that darkness, and that Jesus is the answer, that he does provide wholeness, that he does provide complete satisfaction, and that he can bring a complete beauty from these ashes, these things that I was so ashamed of before. I'm able to now bring light to in a positive way and to help other folks who are struggling with unwanted same-sex attraction to know that there is hope, that there is change, and that God can bring something incredible out of something that's so shameful.
Amen. To God be the glory.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you so much for your honesty, your transparency, and your courage, your testimony, and the testimony of a multitude of other men and women around the world who were once bound and ensnared by the brokenness of same-sex attraction, but now have seen restoration and healing in their lives. I don't know of a man or woman around the world, Joseph, that's left homosexuality or lesbianism behind, apart from a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you agree?
100%.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, today, many are finding themselves in a crossfire, if you will, on the subject matter. Many are facing a very, very important question. Do I hold to the instructions of Scripture and church, or do I reject my faith convictions as outdated and accept what many today would label as a new morality? Joseph, you and I speak to this whole subject matter personally and mm-hmm. professionally. 33 years ago, when I surrendered my life to Christ after living 17 years as a gay-identified man, the world and the church as well was very, very different on the subject matter than where we find ourselves today. Homosexuality is greatly being challenged around the world that it's an okay behavior, even with God, and that homosexual practice has the blessings of Christianity. How would you gentlemen respond to that?
I would say a couple of things. First of all, it depends what we want to tie our lives to. You know, I think it was important that you said it's a new morality. There's always going to be new moralities. And if we tie our beliefs and our behavior to the shifting sands of cultural opinion, then we've tied ourselves to something that is constantly changing.
Yes.
And yet God's word, the Bible says, stands forever. And so if we tie our beliefs and our behavior to God's word, then we've tied our lives to something that does not shift with whatever cultural opinion happens to be in vogue at the time.
Absolutely. You know, again, personally speaking, many, many years ago, when I did surrender my life to Christ and I began to read the Bible, it was crystal clear to me in both the Old and the New Testament. The scriptures were abundantly clear that this was a behavior not unlike many others that God said no man or woman is to practice. I didn't have any spiritual upbringing. I wasn't raised in a Christian home environment. But when I read those scriptures, it was abundantly clear to me. It was like, that's it. He's very clear on this. But many are challenging that today, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah, you know, with whatever sins that we struggle with, it's always a temptation to bend scripture to match our behavior instead of realigning our behavior to match scripture. And so there's a lot of people who do this today. Some people would try to reinterpret the Bible to argue that it does support homosexual behavior. One of the most common arguments is people will say, well, there was never a place where Jesus himself specifically spoke against homosexuality. But I would argue that we do have record in the New Testament of Jesus reaffirming the traditional biblical view of marriage and sexuality. In fact, there's a spot in Matthew chapter 19 where he was being asked about marriage. And in verse 4, he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.'"
Yes.
And so here Jesus reaffirmed God's plan for marriage and for sexuality that we see in Genesis. And Jesus says, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife.
Exactly.
And so we see here God's plan for marriage and sexuality being one man with one woman.
Yes.
And so Jesus does reaffirm the biblical teaching of what sexuality and marriage is supposed to look like.
Absolutely.
Another thing, too, is I think it's a little bit of sleight of hand when people say, well, if Jesus didn't say it in the Bible, then it's not true. But of course, we believe that all of the Bible is God's word.
Yes.
Whether it was Jesus specifically speaking or someone else speaking in the Bible for God. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture, not just the red letters, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable.
Yes.
And so what this means is every word of the Bible, whether it's the words that came directly out of Jesus's mouth or the words that were inspired by the Holy Spirit in some other way, they all are inspired. That means they're God-breathed, they're from God, and they're all profitable, which means that they're useful for our daily lives.
I'm finding more and more today in a lot of conversations I have with an abundance of both men and women. Today, it seems like everyone seems to be a Christian until it gets biblical.
Yeah.
And God has a lot to say in His Word about His divine intent for human sexuality. Just recently, I had a conversation with a couple of gay activists, and they were challenging. They said, which scriptures can you offer that God says He's not okay with homosexual practice? I said, well, let's start at the very beginning. Let's go to Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, which I often refer to as God's blueprint for human sexuality. There was no mention from the very beginning about homosexuality. And they're challenging me on that again, because, as you said just a moment ago, Pastor Brian, that Jesus Himself never specifically addressed it, but He did, because He carried through the common thread from beginning to end of Scripture.
Sure.
In terms of marriage, every biblical example of marriage is always between a man and a woman, and there are no exceptions, are there?
No, good point. You know, obviously there are passages that sort of are against homosexual practice. You know, obviously we have Leviticus 18 and Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 6. But Philip, you bring up a good point that the passages that affirm the biblical model of marriage are passages that speak to the question of homosexuality.
Yes, absolutely. And Joseph, for individuals like ourselves and others around the world, when you become aware of your brokenness of same-sex attraction, but you also appreciate the clarity and truth of Scripture, those are two formidable forces, and they butt heads, don't they?
Yes, absolutely.
And a lot of men and women go, well, what do I do? Because I didn't ask for this. I didn't set out to have same-sex attraction. So once again, when you read the clarity of Scripture, that God says, don't go there, as our young people say today, it's an intense battle, right?
Right. And what I've found is that, you know, the unwanted same-sex attraction is just one brokenness. Just by virtue of being a human, a sinful human, we've got plenty of other areas of brokenness that need to be addressed. And for me, what I've found is that, yeah, well, I know this unwanted same-sex attraction is something that I need to be clear of and be very cautious of. I've got other sin problems. I've got anger problems. I've got truth problems. I've got other areas that need just as much attention. And so once a believer comes to the point that God has a clear design for how He's created man and woman, you know, you kind of tuck that in the back of your head, but you still have to move forward. You have other areas of your life that need to be sanctified. And I found for myself that the same-sex attraction part slowly, it kind of fades away. Not that it's not as important, but it just brings light that I've got so many other areas that need just as much attention.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's important not only for the individual, but also for pastors in the congregation. It is easy for us when we know that there's someone in our congregation who's struggling with same-sex attraction to reduce them to only that, and to think that their discipleship needs are only purity in terms of same-sex attraction. But we have to realize that they're a holistic being. They're a complete human being who has other discipleship needs. And so I think that's important for us to remember. Sometimes Christians make the same mistake that the world does. The world says we are defined that our primary identity is what gender of people we are attracted to. But we have to realize that our primary identity is that we are creatures created in the image of God. And then for those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior,
yes,
then we are born again and we are His children.
And this is so, so critically important to this whole conversation. Let's back up a moment and consider that when you and I or anyone says that we are a Christian, we are literally saying that we are followers of Jesus Christ and we embrace the Bible in its entirety or not at all. Mm-hmm. And once again, within Scripture, God has a lot to say about His divine intent for human sexuality. And His holy boundary lines are very, very clear. The lines in terms of which we're to do our utmost to live within. So it bears the question, why would God tell us to stay away from something or not to do something? I would submit that He sees the beginning to the end, and He's trying to protect us from unseen danger. How do you reply to that?
Yeah, you know, I think the Bible says that God is our Heavenly Father. And for any father who loves his children, there are things that he's going to protect his children from because he knows better. God knows better. He knows how he created us. He knows what he's built us for. He knows what's best for us, and he loves us. And so times when there are things that God wants us to avoid, it's because he wants to protect us from the harmful results that could be a part of that.
Yes. Men and women don't choose to have, once again, the brokenness of same-sex attraction, but we do have a choice in terms of how we're going to respond and handle it. And I have found, again, in my own life over these past 33 years, once again, as an individual who is deeply entrenched in the brokenness of same-sex attraction, through my relationship with Christ, and I've shared many, many times, we don't arrive at our broken places in life overnight. I don't think it's realistic to anticipate that everything's going to be resolved overnight. It is a journey. And I know this to be a Christian, we're all on that journey, aren't we? We're all in that process of becoming more and more like Christ. And it's a process that's going to continue in each of our lives. We either go home to be with him or he comes back to get us. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, and I think, too, that there's a misconception that the fix to unwanted same-sex attraction is to engage in or be in a relationship or a marriage with someone of the opposite sex, when I don't think that that's true at all. I think the solution is Christ. You know, for some, he's chosen the path for them to find someone to engage in marriage and have a family. And for others, that's just not part of the plan. But regardless of which path he's put you on, you are still able to fully honor Christ and be obedient to Christ, all still while having that unwanted same-sex attraction.
Yes.
I know I've counseled with Christians who experience same-sex attraction who have told me, they say, Brian, I just don't know if I'll ever feel attracted to someone of the opposite sex. But I read a book by Sam Alberry, a wonderful short book called Is God Anti-Gay? And in there, he reaffirms that in the Bible, singleness is an honorable position. He points out that Jesus was single. He points out that Paul was single. And of course, in the New Testament, Paul argues that there's advantages to being single.
Yes.
One of them being that you can serve the Lord full time without being tied down to anyone else's expectations. And so he points out that for some people, there's the possibility they may not regain or gain attraction to the opposite sex, but that there is still a route for them to be living a single life in an honorable, godly way.
Remaining single is okay. Mm-hmm. I continue to find in my own life when I'm speaking in a conference or churches, and I share the fact that I am still single. And inevitably, at some point, it's almost a given. Someone's going to make the way to me and go, "You're single? Yes. Oh, you poor thing."
Yeah.
It's like, I'm single. I don't have leprosy. You know, it's okay.
Sure.
I would submit that if more men and women would go to God the Father first and foremost and say, "Do you want me to get married?"
Mm-hmm.
It could be he has a plan for their lives and he wants them to remain single. That's okay.
And imagine or see how different that view is that people bring to you than the Apostle Paul's, who was single and said, "I wish that all men were like me."
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Speaking of the Apostle Paul, I think it's important to bring this discussion as well, that the issue that the Apostle Paul had, he went to God the Father three times and said, "Look, I hate this. I know you hate it. So take it away." And what was God's reply? "No, but I will give you that extra measure of grace to keep walking with me. Keep your eyes on me. I'm the author and perfecter of your faith. Keep walking with me. Keep your eyes on me." He didn't take it away.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of times people struggling with same-sex attraction can say, well, you know, if God doesn't take these feelings away from me, then there's no way I can be a faithful Christian. But when you think about it, that argument doesn't work for every other temptation we go through as Christians.
Yes.
So just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you're never tempted to get angry again. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean you're never tempted to have heterosexual temptation again. And so imagine if we use that same test and say, "God, if you don't take my love of money away from me immediately, then I could never be a faithful Christian." But of course, all of us have the sins that we struggle with, and we have to, by God's grace, discipline ourselves to follow Christ no matter what temptations we're experiencing.
And these are some of the conversations and some of the topics that are going to be addressed at Still Waters, which again will be offered at Valley Baptist Church beginning January 16th. And Pastor Brian, you said it's on a Wednesday evening beginning at 6 p.m. until 7:30?
That's correct, yes. Totally free, free childcare up through fifth grade.
Let's segue to another aspect of this conversation, and that is that many today are once again emphasizing, well, if God is love, then what's the big deal? I mean, if it's two men, two women, isn't that what's most important, that love is present? How do you respond to that? What's your input on that?
I think I would maybe say a couple things. First of all, we have to define what is love. Now, remember that God is love, so he's the expert on defining what love actually is. In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments."
Yes.
And so we see the greatest test of whether or not we love God is if we obey him. So if we're doing something that is in direct disobedience to God's word, then according to Jesus, that can't be love.
Yes.
The other thing is in 1 Corinthians 13:6, Paul says that love does not rejoice in sin, but rejoices in the truth. And so if we really love people, then we're not going to lead them away from the truth, and we're not going to lead them into sin. And so I think we have to let God, who is love, be the ultimate judge on what love actually is.
And again, a lot of individuals today are challenging, again, as I said a moment ago, love seems to be, for many, the validating factor for behavior, various and many behaviors. But really, for a Christian, our love is exhibited in our obedience to God the Father. And sometimes that's a struggle in itself, because our feelings and our emotions are a big part of who we are, and they can be often very, very intense and try to dictate otherwise how we are to follow God. But love, true love for God, is exhibited in our obedience. Would you both agree?
Yeah. People use love to justify any behavior when biblically, love should actually modify our behavior.
Let me ask you this. Many today say that we as Christians, to those struggling with same-sex attraction, or really a very, very long list of various habits, addictions, and compulsive behaviors, that we Christians are to speak the truth in love. What does that look like? What is said to that individual to speak the truth in love?
So if it was me as a middle schooler, I've already recognized that I know that homosexual behavior is a sin. I would have wanted someone to tell me, yes, it is a sin, but let's talk about what you do from this point on. That discipleship of where to go once you've made the realization that it is sinful behavior. Someone to show you that there is hope in Christ. Someone that gives you the practical tools on how to strengthen your faith in Christ and how to continue to live an obedient and pure life.
Absolutely. Pastor Brian?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is our attitude when we're addressing people. Are we addressing people as one beggar telling another beggar where to find food? Are we addressing people with the realization that we are sinners as well, and that everything good in our life is by the grace of God? And so I think our tone, our facial expression, and our attitude has a lot to do with it.
Not only what we say, but how it's said
exactly.
Is just as important.
Exactly.
Well, gentlemen, unfortunately, we are out of time. Thank you so much for being here. I knew going into this conversation that we would not be able to cover everything we would like to share in one program. So you're coming back again next Saturday?
Yes, that's correct.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. To all those listening in this morning, thanks so much for joining us. Please know that at His Way Out Ministries, and by the way, if you'd like to visit our website, which is hiswayout.com, you'll find a wealth of information, articles, videos, testimonies, all there for you to use. Please download the information. It's our gift to the body of Christ. And once again, thanks for joining me this morning. Please tune in again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.